Just a little quick announcement before we start the show. We've been nominated for Best Podcast at the Australian Adult Industry Awards. We will put the link in the description to vote for us. Voting starts on the 3rd of March. So, if you enjoy the show and you enjoy us, we would love your vote. And, thanks and enjoy the show.
All right, welcome, guys, to Sex with Kat and Mark. We've got another episode. We have Kiara Edwards with us today. So, international escort content creator, and we're so happy to have you here. I know Kat's been dying to get you on for a long time. So, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. So, let's start with our first question, which is, how did you get into sex work? What was your journey into that role?
So I was a very, very good Christian kid, and I was like in a long-term relationship. And I remember walking into a strip club just after I turned 18, and I was like, oh, I think I'm in love.
That's awesome.
I remember the strippers were like, never ever do this job. Like, you're gonna hate it, regret it. And that was 10 years ago, and I've loved it ever since.
What did you love about it? Sorry, Kat.
Oh, I was going to say, like, did you start as a stripper? Because you don't do stripping now, do you?
Sometimes. So sometimes I do. I was a showgirl for a very long time. So while I didn't compete, I would do shows at a lot of country towns, some cities. And I think the thing that attracted me the most was all the glitz and the glamour and, like, the art of seduction, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So you walked in and then everyone was like, whatever you do, don't do this job. And then you walked out of that place thinking, I'm going to do this job. This is for me.
I was like, oh, I'll just start as like a bartender. And then we all know how that ends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope.
And then I feel like the whole like journey, every single step it's been, like with porn, for example, I remember being at a strip club and one of the girls used to do, went over to England and did a scene for Brazzers. And I remember everyone was like, oh, what a slut. That's disgusting. How could she do that? And I was like, that kind of looks cool. I think that's what I want to do.
This is hilarious. I love that you just do what everyone tells you not to do. She's like, everyone's like, what a slut. How dare she do that? You're like, yep, that's my next thing on the list.
sounds good.
Yep, perfect.
So you did work with Brazzers, didn't you? How was that? Because Brazzers is a big company.
Oh, it was so phenomenal. I remember it was probably one of the hardest scenes to date that I've had to shoot because for me, I'm much more of a method actor. So I would go in and I would like make up lines and kind of you'd play off each other. Whereas Brazzers, it was a very strict, like,
it's a script, isn't it? Yeah. It's like a movie. I've seen some of Brazzers' films and they're proper real acting.
Oh yeah. And but like the whole crew was so much fun. Like I remember walking in on set and you're just treated like an absolute like goddess. Like everyone's there like, you look so beautiful. How can we make you the most comfortable? It was, yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah, I was just talking to Kat about this on the weekend actually because we met up with some content creators up in Queensland. And yeah, I was saying like, I think one of the most challenging things around creating content or shooting porn, whatever you might be doing, is the whole aspect of you're meant to be really in the moment. It's sexual, but at the same time, everything is also very planned out to make it look as best you can, obviously. So I've always admired that, the difficulty of following a script, but also at the same time being in your body and being very like sexual at the same time. So yeah, sounds like a difficult thing to do for sure.
It definitely, I think the hardest part for anyone entering like from content creating to porn is with porn, you've really got to know like your lighting, you've really got to know like how to open up. And it's realistically, it does take two to tango in that scenario. You've got to be able to play off with another person to create. Whereas I found with content, it's a lot more about getting lost in the moment rather than the overall production.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting differences. So you started off as bartender, worked your way up to stripping. And then what was the next step after that? Was it porn or what did you get into after that?
So I was doing full service for a while. So I actually had a couple of like sexual things I needed to work through before I did the porn thing. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to make sure that I could like practice and be prepared going in because I didn't have that many sexual partners outside of work.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, because you said you had a quite Christian upbringing and, you know, I actually kind of find that there's a fair few people that I've spoken to that do sex work that actually did have like a fair bit of a sheltered kind of religious upbringing. Like even Mark and I like grew up like, quite Catholic families and Catholic schools. Like I've done all my Catholic sacraments and everything.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic when you grow up. I mean, especially for you, right? You're saying it sounds like you basically do everything people tell you not to do. So as growing up Christian, it's it becomes, I feel like sex becomes more kinky because you're told not to do it essentially, right?
Well, so I still have a lot of friends that I went to church with when I was younger, and I swear they're the kinkiest people of all my circles of friends. It's always the way, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree. So you had a boyfriend essentially, and then got into this, and then you weren't really dating too much outside of that space.
No, I've only really had a couple of partners in my 20s, and most have been long term. I did. What a lot of people don't know is I did get married.
Oh shit! Okay, oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Tell us about this.
I did not know that. Yeah.
So we actually met through browsers, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely not meant to be. It was a very typical Vegas kind of.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So was he another porn star?
No,
well?
No. So he was more on the...
like admin?
Yeah. So he was like one of the people that was like... the nerdy people of the industry, if that makes sense.
All right. That would be a hilarious story to tell your grandkids, though. It's like, so how did you guys meet? Well, interesting story.
Like this.
Yeah. Okay, so it was a very short-lived relationship, was it?
Well, so we started seeing each other when I first started going to and from America.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was like, perfection. We went in and like when COVID hit, I remember we had the discussion and I was like, fuck, like I've got to go home, like, but I don't want to like never see you again, and like we just don't know where things are going. So we were kind of like, fuck it, like let's get married, like just jump in. And then it was like as soon as we got officially married, everything kind of changed. Like I remember walking down the aisle to like get our photos done, and there was a modeling agency waiting there for me to sign paperwork that he'd decided.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, a modeling agency? Like, yeah, so you did your modeling?
I want you to leave the agency you're with and sign with these people, and like, oh, it wasn't a prior discussion. And when I said no, it kind of like I feel like that's when we started like going downhill like really rapidly.
Yeah,
that's so crazy. Random. Like it just happened there waiting.
Yeah, it was so it was the only person that attended our wedding was the guy.
Oh my gosh. So you kind of saw a different side to him after the ring went on.
Yeah. He just kind of went to the point of he was like, I'm going to manage you now, and like I'm in control, and you need to like make your decisions on your career, on what I'm saying. And like, as we've discussed just before, I feel like if he told me don't sign with this agency,
yeah,
I
you'd probably be like, fuck you.
Yeah, no, fuck that guy. In the bin.
Yeah, yeah, sounds like you need someone that's not going to be too controlling based on based on your personality.
Also, someone that knows to say the opposite thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 Or someone that knows how to manipulate. One of the two.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so you were married. Was that during this relationship, was that an open relationship that you had? I mean, obviously you're working, but outside of that?
Well, I didn't really I don't think I really had sex, especially when I was doing porn in the US. Like, I can probably name two times that I had sex off camera in that.
Oh, wow.
Just over a year that I was there.
I think a lot of people are going to be shocked to hear that because honestly, I think when anyone ever sees anyone in the sex industry, they always assume super high sex drive, having sex a lot outside of work, little things like that. So I'm curious, what were your circumstances or motivation for not wanting to search for sex outside of work or going to that? What was the reason for it?
Well, I mean, you just got to look at the lineup of guys that I was shooting with, Johnny Sins, Kieran Lee, Will Tile, Troy Francisco. I'm shooting with all these extremely attractive top males that know how to please a woman, so it's kind of you get to the point where you're I don't really know if I need to search for this, and statistically wise, to get a new partner, there's so much uncertainty on whether I'm even going to enjoy it. Why would I, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And plus, I get to make this beautiful content for everyone to see, you know?
Don't worry. As a fellow sex worker myself, I can agree with that 100%. A lot of people in the industry, they say the same thing that, yeah, sex workers probably have the least amount of sex outside of work than normal people do because, yeah, when you're having such good sex at such a high caliber with such hot people, that's just so good. It just makes any sex outside of that just always so disappointing. So don't worry. Yeah, I totally feel you.
Was that it?
So what is it like shooting with these big names, these male actors? So do you
tell us about Johnny Sins.
I want to know about it. Because obviously I know, right? People in the industry, sometimes when you're working with certain people, you're obviously going to enjoy it a lot more than others, and there's going to be a mix. And so do you ever come into these scenes being actually, you know what? I really want to fuck this guy. Or you leave the scene thinking, do you know what? That was fucking great. I wasn't expecting that. What was it like working with all these different sort of bigger names?
Well, the first thing that kind of got me was there's this guy, especially that does tough love, and he comes across as the most misogynistic asshole of a person. And I remember being on a set with him and kind of expecting that. And what they don't show you is behind the scenes, all of these guys are they'll put their hand on the shoulder. They'll be look, if you're in pain, if you feel uncomfortable at any time, or you want to change things up, just let me know and we can work around it. How can I make you the most comfortable? What turns you on? They're very... most of the people in porn that have been around for a long time are very caring, considerate people.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's really nice to hear, actually, because me and Kat have spoken about this on the show before. I think the number one thing that makes sex the most enjoyable is when you actually find out what the other person likes. So if you can actually explore the kinks or just the things they don't like, what they like, what that's going to make them pleasurable, I think that overall just makes for better content and a better scene. So to hear that these guys are experienced and actually asking you that and going through that, I think number one, not only does it make you feel more comfortable and more relaxed and as someone working with them, but I think the scene just looks better if you're actually both having the type of scene that you want. So it's nice to hear.
Think as well, at the beginning, if performers are given that opportunity to kind of mingle and talk as well, it definitely helps. I can look back on scenes and I'm oh yeah, we had a really nice conversation about dogs 10 minutes before this.
It's so funny.
You kind of got to, and that's what I was always in trouble for, because I'd always crack jokes.
Yeah.
I remember one guy pulling out his penis and I was oh my God, it's so big. It looks like a didgeridoo. Like,
oh yeah, the Americans would have loved that.
Yeah, and after like you have that kind of ice break, everything just runs so smooth.
I totally agree. I'm the same as well. I find that the best content that I make is definitely someone that you might have that friendship or that banter a little bit beforehand. Yeah, I've made content with someone where we didn't really chat too much beforehand, and it did make it a little bit harder because it was like, oh, like I don't really know how to go about it. I don't know what your vibe is. So yeah, it does make it a lot easier.
Oh yeah, I can imagine for sure. So what do you enjoy doing more then? Like, because you have OnlyFans as well, right? You do your own content. Do you prefer these, let's call it like high production, more like porn type scenes, or do you prefer sort of making your own content? Like, which one do you prefer actually doing?
See, that's so hard because they're both just so different on the scale. Like sometimes I like having the makeup artist and hairstylist there, and they're like preparing me, and like you'll have like PAs and stuff on set that are making sure your hair looks good and you look good, and like that's always so fun. But at the same time, like sometimes you meet people on set and you're like, I just want you to fuck me hard, like we'll film it for OnlyFans and we can get raw with it.
Yeah.
So it's like it's how do you choose between two really good things? Like I'm definitely a variety person.
I know, makes sense. Yeah, fair. So all right, so back to your story then. You got into full service, right? Then what was the next step after that? Was it then porn, or did you start your OnlyFans, or
how did this work? I started like an OnlyFans account, and this was back in like 2017 2018 before it was a known thing. And I started chatting to quite a few people in the States that were in porn, and I was like, oh, you know, I'd love to like get to that level. And one of them actually hit me up and was like, hey, like, can I come, like, I'd love to come to Australia, if I come, like, can we film, like, we could film something together and like see how you go. So I did that, and it was an amazing film, one of the best that I think I've done. And then I started going over to the States, and when I went to the States, I never really went with a plan about what would happen or what direction to go. I kind of just started showing up to parties.
Oh shit.
Oh, love that.
Wait, what type of parties? What do you just show up to parties? What does this mean?
Yeah. So like, I remember, I went to this thing in Vegas, and it was like a mixer, and I met a bunch of people, and then
Wait, was this like a porn star mixer?
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, they
have. Interesting.
And then someone was like, do you want to film with me? And I was like, yeah, let's film. And then the next day, a company started reaching out to me and were like, hey, like, we like your vibe. And then agencies started reaching out, and it was honestly like so much just luck. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you put yourself in the right position though. Like I think it's crazy you went without a plan. That's hilarious. I love that you were just like, I'll just go to Vegas and just go to some fucking parties and see what happens. Like well done for that. But yeah, I mean, you put yourself in the right position there, and I think you come across as someone that's very down to earth, easy to get along with. So I think a lot of people are going to see this and probably, you know, find you easy to work with at the same time. So yeah, probably a bit of luck, but I think you did the right thing by putting yourself in the right space too.
Yeah. And I get a lot of girls that reach out to me and they're like, could you mentor me? And I always feel bad because I'm like, so much has changed from when I first entered the industry after 2020. Like, I don't feel like there's one direction, and I feel like there's never been one direction into the industry. I think it's kind of, you just got to put yourself out there and like pray, really.
That's actually kind of leads into a question that I had. What do you think? So a lot of people are talking at the moment how the sex industry is like really different now post COVID. What would you say would be like the biggest obstacles, or even like the best advice giving like to give like a new entrant that might be watching this being like, how can I do this?
I think that the most important thing is make sure you've got a group around you that are supportive and loving. And if that group fails, like, it's no, like, it's not a bad thing. Like, you're meant to grow and learn in this industry and like work your way up. But you've got to remember that everyone did start somewhere. I think that the stigma around the industry is a hell of a lot less than what it was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So it is the best time to kind of try it out.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I think knowing that it's okay to fail a little bit and you're gonna have to try some things out, because it's easy to see someone like yourself and you're like, oh fuck, she's successful, she's made it, like, and you kind of forget that you yourself had probably many times where, as you said, you're unsure, you went without a plan, like you were just like, fuck it, I'll wing it. And I think regardless of what career you're getting into, but especially something in sex work where there's not that much structure around it, there's not like this easy path to take, that it's okay to fuck up. Like, it's okay, as you mentioned, you might have a circle or it doesn't really work. You go into this idea that doesn't work. That's okay, right? If you're going to keep trying, you'll find something, right? You'll find something that works. So yeah, I think it's good advice to people that maybe are looking at, you know, you two and thinking, how the fuck do I do this? So.
I think the other really important thing is like, there's going to be so many people, and I know in my career personally, I've had so many people come in and they're like, you need to do this. Like, this is the structure you need to follow. You have to do this to be able to succeed. And I think now more than ever, you don't need to do that. And you need to stay true to yourself. And with what your boundaries are, you should never, ever like sway them for anyone under any circumstance. And the right people are never going to ask you to go above your boundaries.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice.
Yeah.
Kiara, I've got a question. So I read a blog post on your website and I saw that you got a certain tattoo. I would love you to share this story if you don't mind. I read this and was like, this is awesome. This is such an Australian thing to do. So it's perfect.
This was the first strip club I ever worked at. And I was only like, I would have been a few months in, not even. And I remember unfortunately we lost someone that was in the community that was really close. I was really close with at one point. And they were like, we're going to do Movember for men's mental health. We're going to fundraise. And I remember in this meeting, I was like, hey guys, like, I'm going to shave a mustache. You're like, that cool? And they were like, absolutely fucking not. Like, if you do this, we will fire you on the spot. And oh, I was like, fuck you guys, I'm going to go get a tattoo. I got a tattoo of a mustache on my like pussy.
That is dope.
Again, like, don't tell me not to do something.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. You're so rebellious. I love it. All right. So you go, they tell you no mustache allowed. So you're like, fuck you, I'm going to put it on myself permanently.
Yeah. And I still remember like walking into this tattoo studio. I was on the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And like the tattooist looked at me and he's like, what? Like, are you sure? And I was like, I'm ready to go. I had like a dress on and I was like straight up, and they were just like very shocked.
What did your work say? Because obviously they didn't like the idea to begin with. So you came in with a tattoo. What did everyone say?
They were like, oh, for fuck's sake, Kiara, like,
let's go.
They kind of, I feel like at one part they expected it.
Mm.
But at the same time, they were like, why the fuck would you do that?
Okay, let's see. And so people that you work with, do you tell them this story? Like, it's a nice way to kind of spread the message of men's health, right? Like, do many people ask, or are they just like, okay, cool tattoo?
So it really depends on like the situation. So when I was doing a lot of club appearances and it was like a night out, it would really depend on how intoxicated they were.
Yeah.
Because like, if people are having like a great night out, having fun with the boys or like whatever, the last thing I want to do is like suicide awareness. I kind of just turn around and I'm like, yeah, I just got super drunk. I try and bring it up every Movember because I still like to, so I used it as a fundraising thing as well.
Yeah.
So I like to donate like a large portion of my proceeds during that month because I think it's an important,
oh, that's very sweet,
thing. Yeah,
no, that's great. I think it is super important. Like, it's an important subject in general. I think when it comes to men's health, it's one of the things with masculinity, right? We don't want to talk about how we feel, and it leads to an issue when you are depressed and you are feeling anxious and you do actually need support. And it's a difficult thing to do, to actually reach out. So I think, you know, it's a very nice gesture, I feel. It's a very nice gesture. It's nice awareness. And yeah, no, it's, when I read that, I was like, this is awesome. Like, one, I was like very Australian, like, just getting a mustache tattooed on your pussy. But no, it's a great sentiment, and it's a great cause. And, you know, I applaud you for that.
Thank you. And I think, like, people don't realize how sex workers do make a difference in so many ways to those people, like, to other people's lives. Like, I know with men's mental health, like, I've definitely come into situations where I've helped people out of that situation. And I think that what people don't realize and value is how much men reach out to a sex worker before they'll reach out to a therapist or a friend or, like, whatever. So I think,
oh yeah, we're full-time therapists.
Sex workers don't realize, like, one, the responsibility they have, or two, the, like, unbelievable difference that they're making, not just in our community, but across the world.
Yeah, this is something I was completely naive to until people like Kat, actually, like, when I spoke to her about this, you know, in more depth, that, because, you know, when I was younger, I just thought, okay, sex work, guys are out, night out, they book someone and that's it, right? It's for sex. Mm-hmm. But the more I learned about it is, yeah, a lot of these bookings are a guy just wants to chat, you know, a guy just wants to have some physical touch, a guy just wants to be able to be with someone else. So it's, again, it's one of the things that I think is a big misconception that a lot of people have about sex work. And yeah, and I think that is probably one of the biggest difference that makes someone a great sex worker is someone that's not only able to be, yeah, like, great in bed, but someone's actually able to meet the emotional needs of their clients as well. So it's something that I certainly didn't realize before I sort of got more into this, let's say.
Yeah.
And all right, talking about your website, I also saw there was a section for like a meet and greet and photo op.
Yeah, yeah. How does that work?
Yeah, I've never seen this, like, as an offered no, service. Maybe I'm ignorant, maybe, like, people do. But I saw this, like, this looks interesting. I was like, I want to know more about this.
So I do a lot of, like, events around. So, like, I try and go to Darwin at least once a year. They've got this thing called the Pub Ballet.
What is that?
So they're like these little pubs, and okay, there's all these tradies around, and yeah, like army brats. Like, some of them used to have these like poles, and they'd have like rising stages that you'd perform on. So they're like semi choreographed shows. You've got like all these different music, and then I try and do a meet and greet after that, and do the photo up and signing.
Oh, nice.
That's so cool.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You should do that more, Kat, actually, when you tour.
Oh my God, me, a meet and greet. Oh my God.
I'd come.
maybe not yet. Maybe one day.
I love the idea. And so when it comes to services you offer, I'm curious about this because you seem very like down to earth, but also like a little bit quirky and fun. So I'm really curious as to what is the most interesting request you've had from a guy, whether it's like full service or through your OnlyFans. Like, I'm always interested in hearing other people's kinks and the way they explore it. So what would you say is one of the most interesting requests you've had in your job?
So I get a lot of like mummy kinks.
Okay.
So like
interesting.
So I
have actually seen that on your Twitter. You say.
So like I get a large portion of my clientele are definitely younger.
Okay.
And they're like, we just want a mummy, and I'll be like, have you done your homework? Like, tuck your shirt in, like.
Okay. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is one of your niches? Why do you think people come to you for that?
So in porn, I kind of fell into that sort of kink. I'm definitely more of a dominant person than submissive. Mm-hmm. So it kind of suited me. And there were so many girls I remember that were like, we're never going to do MILF porn. And I was like, fuck it, bring it. Like, I'll give it a go. It's just something that I think suits my personality. And I think it's a genre that a lot of people are missing in their lives. I think most boys need a mommy in their lives.
Thank you. That's the tagline. that's perfect. Yeah, I mean, look, go on, Kat.
Oh, no, I was going to say, yeah, your content on Twitter, like, I've had a little sus, and it does look pretty interesting. So I'm curious how you've come up with all your content ideas, because, like, you always have, like, very interesting little snippets. Like, the other day, I think I seen very some questionable things being done to a banana.
Okay, so I don't know how much I could say on a podcast.
Fuck it, go for it.
Yeah, go for it. We're on YouTube's on here, so it's fine.
So I'm very 420 friendly.
Okay, perfect.
So I'll sit there with like a blunt, and like if it's summertime, I'll be in a pool and I'll just have my phone and I'll be like voice recording like me saying weird shit, or I'll sit there with music on and I'll just start like writing different captions that it could be. And then I have a list, and then I'll go through when I get a video and I'm like, that'll be good for that one.
Okay, fair. All right, yeah. I got to ask, what was the banana thing? You got to fill me in here.
Oh, so I did this one where I woke up in the morning and I like roll out of bed and I'm making myself a coffee. And I'm like sitting there and I put the banana in my mouth, and then I'm like, I woke up from a dream, like remembered my dream of sucking the banana. And then, yeah, I kind of kept going. And then at one point I had like a dildo and then the banana, and I'm like in the kitchen.
Everyone can check that out on Kiara's Twitter.
Yeah.
I didn't mention in the video, but I did at one point look out the window and there were a heap of trainees like working at the building opposite, and I'd left the blinds open.
Oh, they got a nice live show.
There's these trainees looking in watching you deep throat a banana thinking, what the fuck is this you're doing?
They're thinking, fuck yeah.
Probably in front of the camera. That's gold. But you're saying, most of your good ideas come when you're a little bit high?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. I'm a big fan of that. I agree. I think
maybe I need to try that.
Oh, you do. Honestly, I'm more of a psychedelic guy, but I feel like you become so much more creative the minute you become a little bit high. Like you just see everything differently. So I'm all for it. I agree. Yeah, Kat, we gotta get you on it.
What psychedelics do you do?
Acid.
Me, nothing.
Actually, talking about tattoos, I have acid written across my lip here. But it's my go-to. But also like mushrooms, MD every now and again. I think it's very helpful under the right, you know, we're on YouTube, kids don't do drugs, but under the right, when you understand the drug and when you do it under the right circumstances, I think it really helps to actually open up your mind and be a little bit more creative. So even when it comes to creating TikTok content, like it's helpful, I think.
It's the same as like I'll use MDMA recreationally. So I'll kind of use it if I'm having a really bad day. I'll have like a little microdose, and then I lock myself in my room and I put all my pretty lights on, and then I have like a journal and I'll either be writing or drawing. And like everyone always said, I remember when I first, like before we knew what we do now about drugs, everyone was like, it'll fuck you, you're gonna have a massive come down. Whereas I found with me, like weed has helped me astronomically with across all place like parts of my life. And MDMA, when I'm feeling down, like if I have a microdose one night, I'll feel great for 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. There's actually some research being done into MDMA for PTSD. So similar to what you said, they're actually using it in a very similar way where they're taking patients, giving them MD and then going through like therapy sessions, so like cognitive therapy. And what they're actually finding is like very impressive results. Like I can't state the numbers off the top of my head, but the results for curing or like improving PTSD is better than any other treatment we have right now. So I think there's a lot to be said for the research into these drugs, but I know it's a bit of a side tangent, but I'm a big fan.
Did you see that Australia's now legalized MDMA and mushrooms for medical purposes?
Exactly, I think that's
fantastic.
It's a great move.
I think it's
First step.
It's a great move. It's a great move.
But Kat, we're going to get you to try something.
Exactly.
Mark got me to try. So I think the first time I tried, the second time I ever met Mark, he invited me to his house. He said, let's do some acid together. That was the first and last time
that did acid. I remember that. That was
but that's a little part of our friendship. Like
the worst that, one.
I don't know, but that was how we became friends, I think. Because we bonded over some dog show. So similar to what you were actually describing, we locked ourselves in Mark's room and it was literally just like me, Mark, and one other friend, and we're watching some dog show for like 10 hours.
Yo, it was like a dog training video, right? Is that what I'm thinking of? It was like a Caesar Milan type thing. Like it was training the dogs. And I'm like.
And that was how we became friends.
Yeah.
That was like the second time I ever met you.
That was a great show, by the way.
Have you seen the Brooklyn Nine-Nine one where they're watching the dog show and they're all getting like super into it?
No, I haven't seen it. I haven't watched it. No.
You'll need
it.
We'll have to add that to the list.
Yeah. Because I remember, similar to, let's say, the Mummy Kink, I remember watching this and the dog trainer was like so dominant. And I'm like, yeah, I think a lot of my students should just watch this show. Like, this is a very good example of how to be dominant. Yeah. It was,
we had a lot of eye-opening things watching that show.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Tangent.
That was so much fun. Holy shit, there you go. So,
that sounds like Mark's, that sounds like a Mark's dream, what you were describing. Just locking yourself in a room.
Yeah,
done. Lights down.
But let's be honest, sex, we're a sex podcast, sex on drugs, also amazing. Just side note.
Also that great. I can agree with. That one I can agree with.
They've proven that with marijuana use alone, like the chance of a woman orgasming is like 70-80% higher.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, you I agree.
More, you enjoy sex more, like you're more creative.
Yeah.
I don't see the downers.
Yeah, where's the downside here? I did not know that. I want to look into that a little bit more. But I mean, subjectively, obviously, like we know, it feels a lot better. But I didn't know the chance of orgasm increase. So that's actually, it's interesting. Interesting side note. But there you go. Drugs are good, guys.
I mean, don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
But at the same time, it's like, don't go out. I remember when I was having a bad day one day. And I took a gram of MDMA in 30 minutes.
Jesus Christ, that's a lot.
Like, do not recommend. It was a horrific time. I
felt like it sounds like it. Sounds like it.
You got to have minimal amounts and work your way up.
That's probably 10 times too much. That's just not a good time. That's just not a good time. Oh, that's gold. So what's So with your career now, like what are your plans for the future? Like, do you have any goals, aspirations that you want to get to? Because it sounds like you've done quite a lot, right? Like as we were saying, there's probably people starting out that were like, fuck, I wish I can get to where Kiara is one day, right? So is there anything moving forward that you want to move to, that you want to achieve?
So at the moment I'm actually midway writing through a kind of package. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start teaching people like do a how to fuck like a porn star kind of lesson where it can be for people that either want to get into the industry, that want to better themselves in the industry, or simply for people that are like single trying to get more hits on Tinder or people to call them back on Tinder. Mm-hmm. And then for couples that are like in a bit of a lull. We've got an anniversary coming up. They can get a couple of lessons and, you know, impress their significant other with some new moves.
Cool. Is this going to be like an online course you're looking to do, or is this going to be like an in-person workshop?
I was thinking more in person.
Yeah.
But I would be open to doing some online training as well.
Cool.
I love that because I'm always saying, I always say on the podcast, like there's really no guidebooks for this industry. Like if somebody wants to enter the industry, there's no, you know, there's no handbook like there is in a lot of other industries that when you enter. So, yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, a lot of people I found in this industry gatekeep a lot of information.
There's so much competition. There's a lot of misinformation as well. So I see a lot, like, yeah, especially on Twitter, I see a lot of the time, like, they're just giving complete false information to throw you off. Throw you off the scent, really. But I think especially nowadays, as you were saying before, the stigma is a lot less around the industry these days. So I think there is starting to become more access to information and more like industry leaders such as yourself that are trying to put, you know, correct information out there and try to guide people a little bit more. So Yeah, I think that's great.
I think the important thing, though, with industry leaders is you've got to take everything with, like, such a grain of salt. I know from my own personal experiences, I have seen industry leaders use their platforms to bully girls. I've seen them give completely false, like, information and generally just being, like, bad people to be around. Like, the Big Dick Jimmy thing. I remember when he was like a huge industry leader and everyone wanted to work with him. And I remember sitting back and being like, I don't think that what he believes in, I align with. Like, you don't have to affiliate with people that you don't agree with. But you don't have to like make enemies of them at the same time. And even if people are like, they're great to work with, if you have any doubt in your mind about working with someone, just don't do it.
Yeah, that's good advice, definitely. Yeah, I don't even know who this Big Dick Jimmy is. He's clearly been cancelled now, apparently. I've never heard of him.
He got arrested.
That will do it.
All right. Yeah.
What for, can we ask?
Yeah, he got arrested for sex slavery.
Jesus.
So he had all these wives in Armidale. They started in Sydney in the BDSM community years ago. And then they went to Armidale and he had all these, like, women that he got into sex work. And then it came out that quite a few were not of legal age.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right, and he'd, like, keep them in cages and, like.
Was this a creator? Oh, my God.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man.
That is scary.
Yeah. It's such a difficult industry, right? Like, there's not very, very much oversight, but also I think one of the biggest problems in the industry, me and Kat have spoken about this before, is I think everyone just has this scarcity and like fear of, I think if everyone just realized, yo, if we all work together and we just build this industry up, we increase the amount of people that are viewing these scenes, that are paying and hiring, if we just build this industry together, there's enough to go around, right? Like there's enough for everyone to have success. But I think what's happening is like everyone is so scared, right? Everyone's like, oh, I don't want to lose it. And then it becomes this like cattiness. It becomes everyone trying to stab everyone in the back. And I think the big mistake is people just don't realize, like, if you just work together, then you're going to have more success. And I think Kat wrote a tweet that I saw the other day, which was something along the lines of like, when I used to work in an office job, you can correct me here, Kat, but when I used to work in an office job, like all these people were my colleagues and we got along and we worked together. And now that I'm in the sex work industry, it should be the exact same. Like these are all my colleagues and we should be working together. And I think too many people don't view it that way. And that's, I think, a big mistake.
Yeah. I think the other part of the industry that Australia has definitely been struggling with, which is something that I never had to deal with in the States, was there's certain creators here that get cancelled. And then you have this influx of new girls that will work with these cancelled performers. And then when they work with them, the industry will ostracize them. And it's like, hold on a second. There's a like, 8 out of 10 chance they were a victim too. And now if you're pushing them back into the like arms of someone like that, like we should be offering, as women and as men in this industry, we should be offering open arms to help support, encourage and protect one another, but not alienate someone. Like I've got girlfriends and they affiliate and associate with people that I wouldn't want to see ever again in my life if I had the opportunity. But I don't like get angry at them for that. Like that's their own personal choice.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
we know exactly who you're talking about.
and you're making them a victim twice essentially. And I think the other problem is that it also creates a culture that's too easy to, let's say, cancel someone too, in the sense that it's now very easy to just accuse someone. Everyone jumps on board. It's all like now a big story. And it's, so I think there's also something to be said for you are a little bit innocent until proven guilty as well. So it's one thing if someone does something awful, like Big Dick Jimmy or whatever his name was, right? Yeah. That's obviously like criminal level and it's just completely disgusting and he should be going to prison. But then at the same time, to look at one of those girls and be like, well, I'm not going to work with you now is also fucked. And it's also fucked that if someone's done nothing wrong and some girl has been like, you know what, I don't like him, so I'm just going to talk some shit and get him canceled, that's also a problem. So it just creates this space that is so toxic. Right. It's so toxic.
Well, what's happening right now is like half the industry in Australia won't work with the other half of the industry.
So fucked up.
So it is fucked up because, well, yeah, like there's only so many creators in Australia to go around.
Yeah. And
half the industry won't work.
That's how I feel about the guys, like especially when the guys get involved and they're like, you're not allowed to work with this creator, you're only allowed to work with other creators that I agree you can work with. And it's like, hold on a second. Firstly, you're not my boyfriend. Secondly, you can't give me, like, you can't fuck me 5 nights of the week and fuck all these other girls 5 nights of the week. Like, until you can give me everything, don't ask me to give you my everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, what these people don't realize as well is, yeah, like I was saying, so, and especially people that are just starting out, girls need to be making scenes with people. And if there's not enough people to go around for them to, like, some of these girls might need to be making these things to put food on the table. And then if they're being isolated by half of the industry, then that just, you know, it really, I think it just sets the industry backwards. And it just really, it's not a problem for the big creators, but where it becomes a problem is for the creators that are just starting out. And I think that's where a lot of people have a lot of problems, is because if they're just starting out and then all of a sudden half the industry won't work with them.
Yeah. And I think people forget what it's like when you've been in the industry a while. I think a lot of people can forget what it's like to need that money and need that stability. Like, I know girls personally that have done full service without any protection or without any tests. And like, well, I personally would never like do that. I would never judge someone for doing something out of desperation. Like, we need to understand that what each person does in the industry is their choice. And the only person that should have to live with the decisions that that person makes is them. It shouldn't affect anyone else. Like, if anything, if they decide they don't want to do that anymore, we should be jumping in and being like, cool, how can we support you? How can we build you up? How can we set you up so you don't feel like you have to do that anymore?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, it's hard. I don't know how you fix this either. I think there needs to be a culture shift where there's just more abundance mentality in this industry and people just realize that it's going to get better if we all work together. But I don't know how you change that. I think it's going to start from the top. Like, I think all the big creators need to start viewing it that way and pushing and encouraging it. But it's, hopefully it changes, but yeah, we'll see.
Well, and the other thing as well is like with creators and stuff, like I've worked with people and they've been cancelled a month later and everyone's like, you've got to put out a statement. You've got to say this. You've got to say X, Y, and Z. But realistically, like, you can't predict what someone's going to do in a month's time. You can't predict what someone's going to do in 12 hours time. So you shouldn't hold yourself responsible for those decisions. And like, I think in every industry, you're always going to have people that are going to judge you for like whatever you do. There's always going to be like horrible people. And you've got to remember that them being horrible to you isn't about you. It's about them.
No, it's just 100%. Yeah. I mean, it's their projection. It says more about them. I completely agree with that.
Yeah. I think everyone should just search for the people that they feel comfortable with. And like, that's what comes down to growing and learning. Like, if you don't feel comfortable in the circle you're in, move circles.
No, exactly. Yeah, well said. All right, we don't have much longer left, but I want to go back. I want to go back to this coaching, essentially, because I'm super interested in this, and I'm sure our listeners are too. Like, fucking, what are you going to call it? Like, fucking like a porn star, essentially, right?
Fucking a porn star.
Is this aimed at teaching women, or is it just aimed at teaching people in general?
I feel like everyone can take value from the course that I want to do. So whether you're female, whether you're male, whether you're in the industry, whether you're not in the industry, I don't want to discriminate on people based on like anything like that. I just want everyone to be able to feel the confidence I feel when I jump in front of a camera and go, I'm going to do great today. And I wish more of the world felt that way.
That's awesome. If you could give one tip, one tip to all our listeners to fuck like a porn star, what would be that one tip?
Hygiene.
Wow. Cat, I was not expecting that. No, I was not expecting that one, actually. Can we elaborate on that one?
Yep.
So I think it's really important, like, and I think a lot of people, and me growing in this industry, like, I know the lessons that I was brought up growing was I wasn't taught how to clean properly. I wasn't taught to how to prepare for a sexual experience. And I think the first step in everything is how you prepare, like how you prepare your body, how you like get ready to, you know, get down to business. Like,
that's actually that's a very interesting point, actually, because I actually see a lot of Twitter girls like kind of saying things along those lines, like, oh, can we normalize showering before sex? Just because like when you're so used to doing that in like, you know, obviously the escort community, or even just like, yeah, things like douching and stuff, you do that before porn. But like, obviously if you're just having sex with a random person, that's not the norm. But like in sex work, once you are so used to being very prepared, it's hard to kind of step back from that. So I'm the same, like, so even I even find now, like, if I ever do have sex, like, in my private life, I find that a lot of the time I'll, like, go and have a shower first, and I just, like, make them wait. I'm like, I'll be right back. Because I just think that's just so normal now. Yeah, because to me that's just so normal. It's like, yes, got to prepare first. But, yeah, I mean, obviously I wasn't doing that when I was younger. It's only from sex work that I've learned that is what you should be doing before having sex.
If you guys have time, I'm happy to share my most unhygienic story.
Yes,
we
please.
Would love to hear that.
I always have time for these stories. Yeah, hit me.
So I remember it was my first VR shoot.
Yep.
A first VR shoot.
Yeah, virtual reality. Can you explain what a VR shoot is?
So virtual reality is the man just kind of stands still and he's got this like huge mechanism that goes over him like a helmet, and there's these two little eyes like goggles, and you've got to like perform to that. So the cameras show the entire room. So if you've got your VR headset on, you can kind of see every part.
Mm-hmm. So are you also wearing the headset as well?
No. So I'm all like, I'm just performing to this.
So you've basically got like a camera in front of you, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like, he's like fully in
the guy's wearing is like the camera.
Yeah, cool.
And there's like a little nose thing and two eyes. Like it's the most bizarre.
Oh, yeah. That goes over my head. I'm not very good with technology.
Yeah, but so then there's like, there were three guys standing in the back.
Mm.
And like, we've been on set like 6 hours at this point, just getting like the intro to the scene. And it finally got to the point where I had to like pull the pants down and like expose the penis.
Mm.
And I like pulled them down and it flopped out. And like, it was crusty on the outside. Like, oh, I know. I hope you're prepared, Mark. I've made like ambulance drivers gag with this story.
Well, I used to be a nurse, so I'm prepared. Don't you worry.
It was so crusty. Okay.
Well, and you're in front of a whole crew, so you're like, what can I say? And I was like, oh, you know, like, I think we have a situation. Like, maybe we need some like baby wipes. And so he grabs them and just goes like once over. He's like, all done. I'm good. And I'm like, oh, you're also not circumcised. I feel like maybe I'm going to go down there and like triple check. Mm. So I like got all the crust off the outside.
I love how you just took control. I'm like, I'll just get your crusty clog clean. Yeah. Oh my God.
This is a specialty. It's the mummy kink, right? She's like, all right, let me clean you up.
I'll clean it up.
Exactly. Yeah, she's been practicing for this moment.
Yeah.
And then, so he had like blonde hair and his pubes were short, like, mm-hmm. and like mousy brown. And so I pull the shaft of their like head back, and inside there's not only like cheese galore, there's also like another person's like black pubes in there.
What? There's like a collection going on down there.
It must have smelled a little bit.
Professional? I'm so confused. Like, was he meant to be a professional creator? Yeah. He's a professional creator and he has like last night's pubes.
This was a professional porn set. So he's like, he's quite well known in the industry.
And how did that even happen?
I don't know and this is the thing, right? There's multiple people in this room. Like, I'm not the only one that has to witness this. And I was like, after that, I realized kind of like, in certain circumstances, like, I think sex and stuff can be such a taboo topic in a lot of families. Mm. And I think that there's no place to really know how to be hygienic. Like, I remember when I went to my first porn set and I didn't know what a douche was, and I was like in the bathroom shaking, going, and a man had to come in and show me how to use it. And like, I feel like if we could, like, that's definitely the first step into having like your best sex life. Is everything being pristine?
I've got a course on how to be better in bed, but I don't have a hygiene section. You just encourage me. Well, we gotta let men pull back your foreskin, have a shower, clean. Okay.
A lot of men, their foreskin won't go back, and like, technically that becomes a medical issue. And in Australia, you can get the foreskin removed through Medicare. But if your foreskin doesn't go all the way back, you should be able to put your finger in and give it a swirl around. Like, it makes a difference.
Yeah, no, it is something men suffer from, right? If it does become too tight, it can actually be a real problem. So, yeah, sometimes circumcision is the best deal. But, yeah, there are creams you can use to soften, loosen it. There are ways you can get around cleaning it. So, if you do suffer from that, yeah, you can still find ways to be hygienic. It's not an issue. So, yeah, it's a good tip. It's one that I wouldn't have thought of, to be honest with you. But I think that everyone listening appreciates. Everyone's like, yes, exactly. Yeah. Like, fucking be clean. So,
until you're a sex worker and you see a lot of rank cock. Every sex worker has got some juicy stories about that.
And there's no way to make it sexy after that. There's no, like, if you're a little bit put off by something, it's really hard to get back in the moment. So you really want to make sure that first sexual experience, you want to be prepared for. You want to be, as you said, hygienic. You want to be in the right headspace. You all of that's important before you even start. I think, good tip.
And not only that, I do want to add just at the end, it's not just males that suffer from not really understanding how to clean their bodies properly. I know a lot of females, like just as many females as males, have the same sort of questions on how to like actually properly make sure that they're prepared and like, So it's definitely not like a one gender specific.
It's more men though. I'm happy to say.
It is definitely more men. She's not wrong though.
We're being very politically correct here, women. We're talking to you too, but no, men, we're really just talking to you. Okay, so Kiara, where can people find you? Where's the best place?
I'm on Twitter, Kiara Edwards XXO, Instagram, Kiara Edwards XX. Snapchat, Kiara Edwards XXX, or OnlyFans, Kiara Edwards XO, or Pornhub.
Hey, there you go. Pornhub. Perfect.
Oh, love that.
Awesome. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for coming on. It was a lot of fun chatting to you. Thanks for the tips and the stories. Appreciate it. And if you want to check it out, if you want to see some interesting things with bananas, then jump on those socials.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.